and just give glory and praise to the name of the Lord. Concentrate upon the Lord right now, because we are going to deliver the word of the Lord. And the Bible says the word of the Lord is quick and it is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah. Can divide even between the soul and the spirit. And he enters even to the bones and marrows. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So let's incline our hearts to the word of the Lord right now. Because we thank you this morning. And everybody said,
amen.
Lord, we give you the praise and we give you the glory. We know that the entrance of your word brings light.
Yeah.
And we pray that that light will shine in our hearts again this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Giving the praise to your name and bringing deliverance and grace and help to our situation. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's try that again. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. We can clap better than that. Hallelujah. Let's clap for some excitement for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. You may be seated this morning. Now you listen real close to this message and God will bless you. So the message has started. Everybody should pay attention now. God holds the trump card. That's right. Now they sang, the praise team, they sang a song this morning. They said, who has the last word? You know, Jehovah has the last word. They sang that song and I said, wow, that will go right with this message here this morning. I didn't tell them what to sing. You know, the Lord put it in their hearts what to sing. Amen.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord is one. They said, you know, who has the last word and so forth. Well, this message is titled, God Holds the Trump Card. Now, let me just explain a little bit what that may mean. You know, now I'm not talking about the kind of gambling cards and so forth, but you may play, you know, just cards, you know, spade of hearts and all of these things and so forth. You know, usually, and then, you know, there's one card that may be the ace, or there may be just the trump card, you know. I don't like playing cards very much, but when I was a young man, I used to play chess, because that's a thinking man's game. Anybody ever play chess? Anybody in the house play chess? Okay, I see Brother Uche, you know, Brian Anahoro, and everybody, some other people. Chess is a great game. I used to play, you know, and in fact, you have to think several steps. As I know some people play, what do we call the other kind of thing? Is it draft or something?
Draft.
You know, anybody ever play draft? Those little things?
I thought they were
the same thing. No, not at all. No, not at all. Chess is way advanced beyond that one. So anyway, and there's one message that I've always wanted to preach. And I've had it for years, and every time I want to preach it, the Lord says something else. And maybe it's not time. It's called Checkmate. And one of these days, I will preach that message by the grace of God. And then you'll find out what this is all about that God's doing. But, you know, in chess, when you have your opponent cornered and you think that they can't make any move anymore, you tell them, check. So they check. And so say, I don't have time to explain the game of chess today. Then they check to see if they can still make a move. Well, if they can still make a move, then, you know, then that's okay. Then they get out of that check situation. But if every move that they are going to make will again put them back in a check situation, and I don't have time to explain what the check situation is, but check situation is with your legs. Just think of it this way. That move cuts off your head. You know, let's think of it that way. So if you're going to move, and every other move you are going to make is going to put you in a situation where your head is cut off and you can't do anything, then it's called what? Checkmate. That means you're done. So we won't be preaching on checkmate this morning, but we'll be preaching on, you know, this. God holds the trump card.
Yeah.
And what we are going to be preaching on is this. When the enemy, which is the devil, when he's got you cornered, and when he's got you pinned down, and he says to you, you are finished. That's, he asked for you to check. He have no more moves. God says, I got one more move.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God always got the last word. And God has one move that he will use, and he will pull you out of it.
Amen.
Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap for that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I will be telling us some stories in the Bible to illustrate this message today. Now remember, again, God holds the trump card. So, let's look at some messages here. How God always has a move that will save the day. Always. And that's why we call him the Savior. Hallelujah. He knows how to do it too. Praise God. So I will be telling us some interesting stories from the Bible just to see how the devil, he will mock you, he will put you in a situation, you know, maybe he put you, maybe you put yourself there, whatever. You know, but the devil will take advantage of situations where he thinks that you got yourself cornered and you can't move anywhere. So he will mock you and he will do all kinds of things. There is a beautiful story. In the book of Exodus chapter 14, you all may know this story of the children of Israel, how they have been in bondage for many years. And finally, when it was time for God to set them out, you know, he did. And then they got to this place, you know, and, you know, so I'm going to read some of this story to you. So let's pick it up in Exodus chapter 14. It's a long story. I don't want to read all of it because it's too long. I just want to paraphrase most of it and then bring out some valuable points because there are some other stories that I want to refer to this morning. But anyway, in this chapter, God hardened the heart of Pharaoh again, as he had been doing. You may know the story. So after they left, you know, then they said to, you know, some of the officers around him said to him, why do we let these people go? And his heart was hardened. So he gathered up his officers and they started to chase after them and all that. So finally, they got to the Red Sea. So there is the Red Sea in front of them. And what's behind them? Pharaoh's army charging behind them. And then, you know, they are caught in the middle. And even the people begin to chide with Moses and say, well, there are no graves there and so forth. Should have left us there. Why did you bring us here? And Moses himself cried to the Lord. And Lord said, what are you crying to me about? What is in your hand? Do something about the situation. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, so in the meantime, the devil, now this is the punchline from this particular story. In the meantime, the devil got in the heart of Pharaoh. You know, and Pharaoh says to Moses, your God, you may not find out in that story, your God is a poor general. He doesn't know how to run an army. I look at him, because Pharaoh was a general, and he was skilled, you know. So he mocked and so forth, said, now I got you exactly where I want you. There's nowhere for you to go. I got you, you know, there's the Red Sea, and I'm right here, and so forth. So he mocked. You know, and maybe the devil, you know, whispered some things to Moses and so forth like that. You know, but, you know, the word of the Lord will prevail. Amen.
Amen.
The word of the Lord came to Moses and said, don't worry about all of that. There's already something in your hand. Use it. Stretch for the rod that is in your hand over the sea and so forth. And do something about the situation. Don't just stand there and be crying. Do something about the situation. Amen.
Amen,
amen, folks. That's you know, that should teach us a lesson. Don't just be there crying, complaining to God. God has already invested in you the power to change your own situation. We've preached that message about 2 months ago. So the power of change. So you can go listen to that. But the thing is this, God had one more move. Amen. Even in that situation, when there was nowhere to go, and Pharaoh was breathing down their neck, the people were complaining against him. Everything was going wrong, it seems. There's no way they're going to make it. I got 2 million people on my hands. How am I going to get them across this Red Sea? It had never been told anywhere. You should also listen to the message, Trailblazers. It had never been told anywhere that there was anybody that crossed the Red Sea or God parted the Red Sea. It had never happened. They never heard about it. But because something never happened before, that doesn't stop God from doing it. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's always a first time, and you can be the one that will blaze the trail. So anyway, Moses, he stretched out his hand, and the Lord parted the Red Sea, because that was a move. That was God's trump card. See, nobody knew what God was going to do. Even Moses didn't know what God was going to do. All that God told him was, something is in your hand. Use it. But he didn't tell him exactly what he's going to do. Now, that's the trump card. When you hold the trump card, you can bluff, you can do this, you can... They don't know what you are holding. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They don't know what you are holding.
That's right.
You know, and a good card player knows how to call that bluff. Sometimes they call the bluff, sometimes they bluff you, sometimes they talk trash or whatever it is. You know, so they will always talk trash to you in your situation. Yeah. But God, remember, God holds the trump card.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the reason, let me go drop back to Jess for a minute. The reason that God is so good about it is because he has foreknowledge of every situation. Praise the Lord. There is nothing new that God can ever learn. He cannot learn any new thing. If he learns new things, then he's not God. He already knows everything about anything that is in there or has not even happened. He already knows it. You know, so when the devil is about to make a move, God already knows the move that he's going to make. In fact, when you met about the great chess players, they can come in there and make one move and checkmate their opponent right off the bat, because they already calculated in their head all the moves that the guy's going to make, and he can't do nothing, you know. And that's exactly how God knows every move that the devil is ever going to make. And God is always a step ahead. Amen. Now, the devil, on the other hand, has to wait for you or for God to make a move, and then he'll try to foul it up. So sometimes I don't let the devil know what I'm trying to do. Amen?
Amen,
amen, folks?
Amen.
That's wisdom to you today. Don't let the devil know what you're going to do. Devil cannot read your mind. He can't do that. Unless you submit to a mind reader, then, you know, amen?
Amen.
And Christians better not be doing that. You know, the Bible says, as the wind bloweth, where it goes and so forth, nobody knows where it is going and so coming. You only see the effect of it when it's already passed. So it's everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. The devil can't figure you out. But if you submit to him, then that's a different story. So, but God already knows every move that the devil to always bring you out of any situation that the devil may have you covered. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Any situation that the devil has you covered, God has a trump card to bring you out. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And his trump card in this case was the opening of the Red Sea. The Bible says he piled up the sea on every side. Heaps. So that the ransom may walk through on dry land. And that never happened before, but that doesn't make any difference to God. He will do what he will do. Praise the Lord. And that was the trump card. And when he did that, you know, God, of course, he had the pillar of fire that separated between the two camps. The angel of the Lord was right there. And then when he did that, you know, so he lifted the pillar of fire. That's right. Because they couldn't, the horses wouldn't go because of the fire. So he lifted the pillar of fire after the children of Israel had crossed, and the water was still heaped up on every side. And Pharaoh's eyes, yeah, I got you now. And they charged in. God suckered them in. Praise the Lord. God suckered him in. You know, he came in like that and so far. When they were right in the middle of the Red Sea, with all the walls, you know, the heaps of water on every side, then God said to Moses, now stretch your hand again. Amen.
Amen.
And he brought back the whole thing. And wow, you know, Pharaoh and his hosts were killed that day. Because the word of the Lord already said, the Egyptians that you see today, you will see them no more after today. Praise ye the name of the Lord. God pulled out the trump card and got him out of there. There was another story that was mentioned. I had this on my list to say today. And as God was moving throughout the service, the story was already mentioned. The story of Samson. I had the story of Samson here. And you can read that in the book of Judges chapter 16. Of course, the previous chapters will talk about his story as well. But I just want to read chapter 16 of Judges. From verse 15 to about verse 30 is the story of Samson. In his story, of course, you know, Delilah and whoever, you know, they tricked him and all that stuff. And he lost his power. We, you know, talked about that briefly this morning. And then when they captured him, they plucked out his eyes and they made sport with him. They made a fool of him because he was such a champion. This guy could catch 300 foxes. I mean, I don't know how you can catch 300 foxes. How do you run after 300 foxes and catch them? I don't know. You know, I think the story of Superman and all these things they did, probably they read the book of Samson, I mean, all the story of Samson, and came up with some ideas. Praise the Lord. Amen. But this guy, he could do anything. You know, thousands of animals don't bother him at all. He can, you know, do all that stuff. So, they put out his eyes and made sport of him and so forth, put him in jail, put him in prison. They gathered all the lords of the Philistines together in one big house and so forth. And they, you know, they told him, well, you know, make sport for us, you know, demonstrate, show us, flex your muscles, do something, let's see what you can do, and so on. You know, they just made fun of him and all that. And he stood right there in the middle. And here is what he did. But God had one last move. Amen. Amen, amen, folks.
Amen.
That's right. And they didn't know anything about it. So, and in verse 23, the lords of the Philistines gathered themselves together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god. You know, and they rejoiced and they said, our God had delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. You know, and then people began to praise the Lord, and I mean, praise their God and do all of these things and so on. They didn't praise the Lord. They were praising this dead God. You know, and they mocked him. They said, call for Samson. Let him make sport. You know, and so on. They mocked him. So finally, Samson came. You know, they put him, and then he took one lad, said, you know, because they were bringing him, because they already plucked his eyes out. He couldn't see. You know, he said, look, just lead me to the center of the house. And there is this big load-bearing post, you know, that they had in the center of the, you know, Colosseum there. You know, and they said, you know, and he said, just let me lean against you so I can get out my strength. And everybody's laughing, they're drinking, they're all drunk, they're laughing. And Samson, he calls unto the Lord.
Yes.
And he said, Lord, oh, touch me one more time. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, oh, wow. You know, and the Lord had pulled out that one card that was left in the deck, you know, and gave it to Samson. And he, Bible says in verse 29, he took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, you know, one on his right hand and one on his left hand. And he said, Lord, avenge me, you know, and he prayed and he bowed with all his strength. And the Bible said that he brought down that stadium, the whole house or wherever they were. And in that one moment, he killed more Philistines than all his life.
Yes.
And that was the trump card that God used to judge those Philistines in those days. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So we can see how God always, when they had you cornered, when they had him cornered, they were mocking him and so forth. And they had it, but God always has one move. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Whatever it is, God always has the trump card left. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's go on to some other interesting stories here. There is a woman in the Bible. In fact, Jesus, he spoke about this woman. You know, all we know about her is that she's called the widow of Zarephath. We don't really know, you know, her name. We just know that she's a widow of Zarephath. But you have to read the full story in 1 Kings chapter 17 about Elijah the Tishbite. When he called for rain because of all the things that were going on, the false prophets and all of these things, you know, and so on. So he had called for rain, and then God told him, go to the brook, you know, and I'll go to the brook Cherith and so forth, and I'll send the ravens. I've commanded the ravens to bring you meat. And he was there for a long time and so forth. You know the story. And if you want some more information on that, also you can listen to the story of the ravens, the brook, and the widow. It's on the website, so you can listen to that. But finally, the brook dried up. And when the brook dried up, the Lord said to Elijah, and this is where the interesting part of the story begins. The Lord said to Elijah, when the brook dried up, well, you know, it's time for you to move on. Amen.
Amen.
I love that part of the story, even though it's not really part of my subject today, but I always like that when I bring it, you know, when I talk about it, I like to bring it out. You know, there might be a time when a situation, like your brook, the brook that you are in, may be dry. And God may tell you to move on. Praise the Lord. But, you know, Elijah, if it probably was some of us, might have stayed there rebuking the brook. Amen. Amen, folks? I command the brook in the name of Jesus to come back to life. God said the brook is dead. Move on. Amen. That's right. Because there will be a situation that God may say that. He can choose to do that. God could have kept the brook from drying up, but he did not. Because he had something else he wanted to do. There was something else that neither Elijah nor even the widow of Zarephath knew about. And that something was called a divine appointment. You have to also listen to that message. There's one called Divine Appointment on the website. Now, you know this. I've made reference to a lot of messages because I want you to go listen to them. All right. So he goes to this place. God said, go over there. So he goes. He doesn't know who he's going to meet. The Lord said, I have commanded a widow woman there to feed you. And the widow man knew nothing about it. Neither did Elijah, until the Lord told him. But so he gets there. He finds a woman gathering two sticks. And he says to this woman, now the story that I'm bringing out here is actually not about Elijah, even though I'm giving all this preface. It's about the woman, the widow of Zarephath. Because this widow was down to nothing. And she said, you know, when Elijah said to her, hey woman, what are you doing? Yeah, well, I'm gathering some sticks to go bake a cake and so forth, you know, and all that. That's all we have left in the house, you know. You know, the famine's been in the land for over 3 years now. We're just going to eat our last cake and die. Amen? Amen? That's what she thought. And Elijah said, oh, wait a minute. You go bake me a cake first and bring it to me. The woman said, well, I don't got nothing. He said, don't worry about it. You go bake me something first because nobody is dying today. Amen? Amen, amen, folks?
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
The woman thought she was down to nothing. But the word of the Lord came and said, nobody is dying today. Not today. You are not dying. Because thus saith the Lord, the barrel of meal, hallelujah, shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the Lord brings back rain. Now that little thing that you say you got in the house, don't worry about it. You go make that cake, but you bring me first something to eat, and the Lord's going to bless your heart. You know, and she did. And the next thing she knows, wow, the Bible says she went and did according to the word of the Lord, you know, through the mouth of Elijah. And listen to this. In 1 Kings chapter 17, look at verses 7 to about 16. 1 Kings 17, verses 7 to about 16. And in verse 14, the Lord said to the woman through Elijah, thus saith the Lord, the barrel of meal will not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the Lord send rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Praise the Lord. This was somebody that was down to nothing. She said, I'm going to prepare my last meal. Give to me and my son. We're going to eat and we're done. You know, we're going to die. That's it. We're done with it. You know, there's nothing else. But God said, I got one more thing. Praise the Lord. There's always that last trump card is in God's hand. And he can change your situation. Just like that in 1 minute. Praise you in the name of the Lord. And he did it for this woman. Now here's another story. You know, this is a very interesting story. And this is called the story of Mordecai and the Jews. And again, you know, and there's a reason why I'm referring to all these messages. Because the Lord actually made me go back and listen to some of these messages myself. Because a lot of the teachings that we've done in the church was before we used to do the review. And so, you know, maybe, you know, people don't even remember, but they are on the website. So that one message is called Table in the Presence of Your Enemies. You can read, listen to that. It's a good one. Anyway, this man, Haman, who thought to do Mordecai evil and the Jews, because when he was promoted by the king, Mordecai would not worship him, just like everybody else did. So he got angry and he wanted to destroy Mordecai. And he said, well, destroy Mordecai alone is not enough. I should destroy all of his people. So he got the king to give him permission to, on a certain day, to destroy all the Jews. Amen? Amen, folks, are you still with me? So that's the story. So let's pick it up in Esther chapter 6. In the book of Esther chapter 6, we see that this story, this interesting story is going on. And this man, who had been certified before twice by Mordecai, You know, there were two chamberlains of the king that plotted against the king, and they wanted to kill the king. And Mordecai, because he used to sit in the gate of the king, he overheard the plot and the, you know, the coup that these people were planning. And he told it to Esther, who told it to the king. You know the story. And if you don't know, read the whole story. It's very interesting. So they saved the king twice and killed those people off. But nothing was ever done for Mordecai to reward him for saving the life of the king twice. So one day, this is how God arranges things. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It's a beautiful story. This is how God arranges things. It's a very, very beautiful story. So one day, because God will turn the tables, God is going to pull out that trump card for such a time as this. He had that card for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Amen. That is the reason why he put Esther there for such a time as this. He had that card. And so God said to the king, so the king went to sleep. God sent one angel down there, you know, and the angel troubled him in his sleep. And he couldn't sleep. Troubled him, he couldn't sleep. So finally, the angel puts a thought in his head. And he remembered, he said, wow, go bring me the books. I want the books. I can't sleep. Go bring me the record books. So they brought him the record books, and he began to search. And God led him to the place. Yeah, you say, God, absolutely. Because God is the one that's engineering this. Yes. God led him to the place where he found that Mordecai has certified the king and made him to escape and save his life twice. You know, for the people that plotted to kill him. And he called his advisors and everybody and all, you know. What was done for this man Mordecai? He said, nothing. Why not? Well, we don't know. Okay, well, all right. You know, there's something must be done for Mordecai. In the meantime, of course, Esther, if you know the story, she was also working behind the scenes and so forth, and trying to get, you know, Haman to come to a banquet with the king so that she can do something. She reveal this plot that he had. So meanwhile, they had gone to bring this man Haman to come and attend the banquet. And so at that very point in time, because God arranged it so, at that very point in time, God said, you know, to this man, do something about this Mordecai situation. So he said, all right, who's in the court there? Who's in the court? And they said, Haman is in the court because they had just brought him in to come and attend the banquet, right? So they said, oh, come on in, come on in. So the man is very happy, you know. So he comes in because he thinks he's the only one that is the greatest in the kingdom, right? So the king asks this man, what is it that if the king wants to honor someone, what should the king do? So this man is thinking within himself, who else can the king want to honor but me? I'm the only one the queen has invited to this banquet. Who else can he want to honor? So he scratched his head and said, ah, I got it. He said, okay, what is it? He said, here's what you're going to do. That your royal crown, and that your royal garment, which you used to wear, and that your royal horse and chariot that you used to ride, and all your ring and everything that makes you, you know, look so kingly, that's what you should put on the man that you want to honor. Oh yeah? Yeah. What else should I do? So well, and you should make a proclamation and proclaim the man throughout the whole city and throughout the whole kingdom that he is the man. He said, is that a fact? Say yes. Okay. Say, all right. You, Haman, let not one word diminish out of what you have spoken. Go out and find Mordecai and do exactly what you have said. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God always has that trump card, folks. When the enemy thinks he got you cornered, God has the trump card. And in this case, Mordecai was the one that was going to perish. Not only Mordecai and the Jews by the hand of Haman, but God pulled out the trump card. And he turned the tables. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. God always has that last move. And for God, it's actually not the last move, but for you, it may seem like that. But God always has a move, let's put it that way, that will get you out. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And here's also another interesting story. This one is called Hezekiah versus Sennacherib. Now, you have to read the story in Isaiah chapter 36 and 37. You know, and of course, we've preached on this story also. You have to listen to the sermon called Make It God's Fight. See that story. So Sennacherib comes from the king of Assyria, right? And he begins to blaspheme and begins to tell everybody, and he begins to cry out in the Jew's voice, and they are begging him, don't speak to us in that language, speak the other language, we understand. No. I want you all, everybody, to hear so that they can eat their own dung. You know, he said, let not even Hezekiah tell you to trust in the Lord and so forth. The Lord's not going to help you. Amen?
Yeah.
Isn't that like the devil? The devil will tell you, look, the Lord's not going to help you. You are on your own now. You are finished. In fact, the Lord is not even going to help you. You know, so this man began to tell them, the Lord's not going to help you. The Lord's not going to do anything for you. And so forth. Do you even think I came here without the Lord? You know, begin to put it in their face. And so on and so forth. I said, where are all those nations? And all that. Do you think that the gods of those nations helped them? Go and read how we destroyed all of them. So he did all of that, he ran, and so on and so forth. So anyway, the story goes, Hezekiah, he takes these man's words and goes before the Lord. And Hezekiah does something that many of us should learn from. You should learn from this. When you are in a bind, you need to make that situation, make it God's part. Let it be about God getting the glory. And you see how quickly God will answer that situation. Hallelujah. Now, Hezekiah did not say, oh Lord, you know that we are, we are the most favored people upon the earth, and you know that this and that, and you know how this, you know, you're going to cut off our wives, and cut off this, and cut off that, you know, and you know that this man is beneath us, he's actually beneath me, so how can he be doing this? I'm the one that you chose, and all that. He didn't say any of that. Instead, what he said is this: the nations of the world have heard that you are a great God.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Therefore, Lord, rise up and defend your name.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. And let them know that there is a God that is still behind Israel.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. He provoked the Lord.
Amen.
And said, God, be jealous for your name. Rise up and do something for your great name's sake. And let the people know that you are God.
Yes.
He didn't talk about his own problem. He just lifted up the name of the Lord. And he said, it is your name. He said, indeed, they burn to gods for those people because they are no gods. Hallelujah. They cast them into the fire because they were no God. But you are the God, the very God that dwelleth between the cherubims. Listen to this. I love, every time I read Hezekiah's statement, I get goosebumps. Amen?
Amen.
Listen to this. The book of Isaiah. You have to read the whole 36 and 37 chapters. But let me just read just one small place here. And you know, after the man challenged them and everything, listen to what that Hezekiah said. Verse 16 of Isaiah chapter 37, verse 16. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel that dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, he said. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, and thou hast made heaven and earth. And he said, incline thine ear, O Lord, and open thy eyes and see, O Lord, how this Sennacherib has come to reproach the living God. Of a truth, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their kingdoms and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire and so forth, and destroyed them all because they were no gods. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all, why should God save us? So that all the kingdoms of the earth may know. Not that we are the people of the Lord, but the people, so that the peoples of the world may know that you are God. No, it's not about me, it's about the Lord. Hallelujah. When your back is against the wall and the devil is making mockery of you, because you are a child of God, don't worry about yourself. You just turn to the Lord and make it God's fight. And provoke the Lord to be jealous for his name. And say, Lord God Almighty, show that indeed you are the very God. Amen.
Mm.
Hallelujah. And of course, the Lord said, don't worry about it. In one night, He sent one angel, that's it. We don't even need to do anything. The Lord, one angel, 185,000 of their enemies were slain. In one night, they didn't even have to do nothing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I don't know exactly how many, but, you know, a lot of them were destroyed. And God, you know, he did so many things. The story, there's a similar story in the story of Jehoshaphat, you know, when he was, his, you know, they were against the wall. And their enemies came up against them. Mount Seir, Mount, you know, the Amorites, this and that, and so on. Ammon and all these people, they came up against them. And they didn't have nowhere to go but to the Lord. And the Lord always has that trump card. You know, remember, the angel of the Lord is like a trump card with the Lord. He can send one angel, you know, and that's it. He can blow everything away. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And we see that in these stories. And let me move right ahead. You know, so God, he pulled out that trump card even in the case for Hezekiah. He pulled it out in the case for Jehoshaphat. I mean, he pulled it out every single time. You know, and there was this woman also. She was also called a widow woman. We don't know her name very much. But she had two sons, and her husband was dead. And the tax collectors and everything were breathing down her neck. They said, well, if you don't pay up, we're going to take your children and sell them into slavery to pay this money. So this woman, this one is in the story of Elisha. And that's Elisha, different from Elijah. This is in 2 Kings, so chapter 4. And in the first 7 verses, you will read that story. So this woman, she came and she said, well, my husband, when she was alive, I mean, when he was alive, I'm sorry, he was a man that feared the Lord. But he's dead now, we can't pay our bills. Elisha said unto her, what do you have in the house? She said, well, you know, we got rid of everything. You know, we're trying to pay this debt. We don't have anything. All we have left is just a little pot of oil, you know, and all that. So Elisha, praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Well, you know, this situation was so bad. Husband dead, children about to be used to sell into slavery to pay the debt. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, this woman had nowhere to turn to, but she remembered there's a prophet in the land. She cries to the prophet and all that, you know, and she says, well, I don't know what to do. My back's against the wall here. You know, my children, they're about to be taken from me. But God always has that answer.
Yes.
Amen. And God said to her through the word of the prophet Elisha, you know, you go to your house. That little pot of oil that you have, it is enough. See, everything that you already have is enough with God. Amen.
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 It is enough with God. What is in your hand? Just like he asked Moses. What is it you have in your house? Well, pot of oil. That's fine. That's enough. That's all God needs. Same thing with the woman of Zarephath. What do you have? A little cake and a little flour to bake. My last cake. Don't worry about it. That's enough. God has something that he's going to pull out. Hallelujah. And so she went in, and the man of God said, tell your kids to go borrow from your neighbor's pots and all these things they can have, any kind of vessel they can have. And when you come in, when they come in, just shut the door, pour the oil that you have into one vessel. When that is full, set it apart, bring them down, pour it in, and so on. And when you got all those things, then go sell and leave. Pay your debt and leave of the rest. Wow. How many of you can say praise the Lord? That was the word of the Lord. The man of God did not need to jump up and down. He didn't need to scream and so on. He said the word of the Lord just like that. And the woman went and she did exactly according to the word of the Lord. And then she said to her son, bring me another pot. But they kept bringing and she kept pouring. Just one little pot. And she kept pouring. And as long as there was yet one more pot, the oil kept flowing. Amen.
Yeah.
As long as they could find another pot, the oil kept flowing. It was only when the sun said, there are no more pots. We have gone down the whole street. We got everything from our neighbors. And after that, then the oil stayed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God knows what he's doing.
Yes, sir.
And then they did, and they, God helped them out of that situation. God always holding that last trump card. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Doesn't matter what the situation is, he always has an answer to it. One time it was thousands of people that were you know, so hungry and they couldn't eat, and for days they followed him, Jesus, all over the place. And they packed their baskets, you know, lunch, you know, going out, it looked like they packed it, but they've been out there for days, and they've all depleted all their food and everything. There was only one young boy that still had any food left, because he probably joined the crowd later on, you know, so he still had his lunch. And so the Lord, he says to Andrew, you know, do something about it, the situation. He said, well, I don't know, you know, where are we going to get bread to feed all these people? Jesus said, well, what you got? They said, well, you know, we've looked through the crowd, nobody has any food. Except this little boy has his little lunch. Hallelujah! And the Lord said, it is enough. That little lunch is all I need. Bring it to me. Praise God. And once it goes in the hand of Jesus, everything changes. Praise the Lord. He pulled out that card again and so forth like that. He always has an answer to the situation. The next thing you know, thousands of people are eating. And they're getting seconds, they're getting thirds, and they're eating, and they're full. And when they finish, from that little boy's lunch that was just in a little sack, you know, brown bag, and so on. And when they finished, they picked up 12 baskets. All those people whose baskets were empty before, because they finished all their lunch that they turned around for 3 days. They picked up all those food. 12 baskets left. My goodness. Oh, hallelujah. God always has an answer. Last but not the least, or maybe I have two more stories left. I'll see how much time I have to tell the two of them. There's this one story, there's this man. His story, and you've heard me say many times, and I love to tell this story. This man's story is in the book of John chapter 5. And he's called the man, the impotent man. He's got 38 years of infirmity, you know, with him. And so, because of the grace and mercy of God throughout that time, in those days, the Lord used to send an angel during a certain time of the season to just move the water and so forth. Whoever stepped into that water first, after the angel moved it, was healed of whatever sickness he had. So this man, year after year, he comes there, you know, and he could never get in because he's crippled. And everybody gets, if you get in too early, it doesn't work. If you get in too late, it doesn't work. You have to time it just right. Amen? So they camped out, you know, like all the women and so forth camp out for Black Friday. They camp out, you know, in front of that place, you know, for days. They're camping out, waiting for the moving of the angel. They knew around the season, but they don't know exactly what time. So they're camping out. And some of them are sleeping, some are taking turns and so forth, waiting for, you know, to help whoever they brought. So this man also, he's waiting, he, you know, every year. And the devil probably, you know, telling him that, you're never going to make it. You're too slow. See, every time somebody's going to get ahead of you, every time you get this close, you will miss it. Now that's what the devil tells some people too. He said, well, you say, you know, the devil will tell you, why are bad things always happening to me? Everybody else is always getting ahead. But I'm the only one, every time I get this close, I always miss that opportunity. Well, God's got the trump card. Amen. Hallelujah. And this man, he was looking to the water. See, because he thought that his miracle was coming from the water. But God got a different answer, right? Yes. Hallelujah. And when Jesus appeared on the scene, and he asked him, man, would I be made whole? The man said, are you kidding? I've been coming here for 30 whatever years. And every time somebody gets ahead of me, I cannot make it quick enough. And Jesus said, forget about the water. Will you be made whole? Yes. Hallelujah. Yeah. Don't worry about the water. I'm right here. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Take up your bed and walk. Today, you are set free. Go and sin no more. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how long your situation. Doesn't matter if the devil mocks you that you never make it and so forth. You must put your eyes upon the Lord. The Lord's got the answer. It's not somebody else that's going to help you. You know, this man, he said, there is nobody to help me. Everybody else gets into the water ahead of me. I have nobody to help me to put me in the water. This is the situation with so many people. They're always saying that there's nobody's going to help me. They're looking for a job. They say, well, nobody's there to hook me up. And so on. You don't need nobody to hook you up. Hallelujah. If you've got the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The reason nobody hooking you up, they don't care about you. Nobody cares about you. Only the Lord really cares about you. If you think somebody's going to hit cookie up, you're wasting your time. People don't care about you. In fact, they're going to trod over you. They don't care. You know, but the Lord He's in your calling. Hallelujah. Never mind somebody didn't hook you up for that job. Don't worry about all that. You put your eyes upon the Lord. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From where's coming my help? My help coming from Jehovah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's where your help comes from. That's why we call it Yahweh. That's where your help comes from, folks. Not from people. Nobody's going to give you the hook up. Never mind about that. You trust on the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And Jesus, of course, he heals the man, makes him every week whole. A man that had been condemned, you know, to his wheelchair, whatever it was, for years and years and years. And then I keep going on and on about all these stories in the Bible that when God always has a trump card at the end, you know. And but you know, there's one more story I gotta tell. Every time I tell the stories, you know, somehow I must bring the story of David into it, right? Because I love the stories of David. So there is this situation. You can read all about it in 1 Samuel 17. There is this situation again, it's with the Philistines and so forth. And Goliath, he comes and he's chiding Israel and say, look, we don't need to engage in battle. I am one man. I'm the captain of my staff. Why should everybody kill themselves? Just you give me one man to fight with me. Whoever wins, his side wins. You know, so challenges them every day. Nobody there steps out to face this man because the man is big. He's like 9 foot tall. I mean, he's huge. I mean, he's, I don't know, you know, he's even his armor alone weighs a lot of things. You know, and he's just, he's so imposing. His appearance alone is so imposing. And he's skilled. He's a man of war. And nobody would face him. So everybody's cowering behind their tents, and nobody will challenge, no go up, take the challenge. So one day, Jesse says to David, go check out your brothers in, you know, in the field where they're fighting. So he goes there to bring them some food and see how they're doing. So he comes there and says, how are you all doing? He said, well, what are you doing here? Don't you see that we're in the middle of some fight here? What are you doing? Go back home. And he said, fight? I don't see any war. I don't see any fight going on. Amen? All I see is a bunch of scissors that are cowering behind their tents. I don't see anybody fighting anything. You know, what fight? I don't see a fight. So he said, what's going on? So he asked, what's going on? He said, well, this man, this and that. I said, what? This man has been terrorizing the armies of Israel and all of these things. This idiot, what? David said, armies of Israel? Forget that. This man is blaspheming the armies of the living God. It's not about Israel. It's about God. God had that one last trump card. His name was David. Little David. He had that trump card. He gonna pull it out. So David, he goes up. So everybody's like, what kind of trash this boy talking? So they said to the king, said, we got one young boy here. The king says, what's up? He said, well, you know, what's going on here? You know, and he said, I can go against this man. I'll take him out. The king says, well, you can't do that. He said, well, why not? He said, well, the man is strange, so here's my armor. So he puts his armor on David and everything. David can't even move. You know, he said, I can't deal with this. Get this off of me. Get this off. So he goes back to the place where he's comfortable. Amen. Amen, folks.
Amen.
He's comfortable by the brook. He's comfortable by the place where he always prays. Where he knows the Lord is my shepherd.
Yes.
And I shall not want. The place where he has, you know, talked and met the Lord, where he has seen God right upon the cherub and so forth. So he goes back to that place of prayer and he picks out five little stones. And he said to the king, he said, don't worry about it, you know, I'll take this man out. Then how are you going to do it? He said, well, the lion came against me, I took him out. The bear rose up against me, I took him out. And this same Philistine will be as one of them. I will take him out in the name of the Lord. God's trump card was in little David. God always has an answer, folks. That devil will never have the day. Amen.
Amen,
amen, folks.
Amen.
That devil will never have the day. And I don't care what the devil is doing in the world today. God's got the trump card.
Yes.
Even today, even though you see that the world is so wicked, you see that the nation is turning to wickedness, you see that homosexuality is running rampant, you know, and you see that even, you know, they have even exceeded the days of Sodom and Gomorrah now. You know, they're doing everything they can, you know, and, you know, lying with animals and doing all this great crazy stuff, you know, and all these things, and legalizing street drugs and marijuana and all of these things, and the wickedness that come up to here. You know, and maybe the Lord will say, well, he might send a couple of angels and say, let's go check it out. The story of this America has come up to here. Go check it out. But I tell you something, folks, there may be a few praying people. And I want to be one of those people that are praying. Amen.
Amen,
amen, folks.
Amen.
That's going to be God's trump card. He's got some people that are praying for the against the abominations of the land. And God knows what he's doing, folks. And he will have mercy because of the prayers of the people. So don't sell your prayers short, folks. God can turn the situation around. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we already know by prophecy that it's as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so it will be. We know that and so forth. But let's pray. Because the Bible says we should pray. You know, say pray that you may escape all these things that are coming and so forth. Stand before the Son of Man. You know, and God will always have an answer, no matter what situation we are in. How many of you can say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Now, if you understand that message, give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Whatever your situation today, I want you to stand to your feet. God has that trump card, folks. And the devil, he may be mocking your situation right now. It may be you never seem to be able to get ahead. You cannot seem to be promoted. No matter what you do, you're always going the opposite direction, it seems. Folks, turn your eyes upon Jesus. He has the trump card. He has an answer. He's always got a solution to the problem. Praise the Lord. And the purpose of God concerning your life, it will stand. No matter what the enemy tries to do, they can throw you in the pit. You may be just a little teenager. They may conspire against you because of your dreams. They may sell you into slavery. The wife of your master may even, you know, conspire against you and so forth. Frame you and all that. They can put you in the slammer. Your name is Joseph. No matter where you go, the favor of God is with you.
Amen.
Even in the prison, the favor of God is still with you there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Even when they threw him in a prison, the favor of God was still with him. I mean, everywhere, look at God's people. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they can be in slavery. The favor of God is still upon them.
Amen.
And they can rise to be presidents of the land. Look at even Esther. She was in slavery and so forth. The favor of God came upon her. The favor of God can change your situation. Praise the name of the Lord. And God's favor is not on us because of something that we did or will do, or something that we didn't do or won't do. God's favor is by election of grace. Hallelujah. And we have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And he has chosen you to be the vessel of mercy. And if you know that, then stand firm in this grace and look at your situation, no matter what it is you are facing today. And remember how many times God has bailed you out. That was the problem with Israel, folks. They always forgot. After every miracle, they forgot what God did. They always forget. Now, don't you forget. Amen?
Amen.
Remember, God always has the trump card.
Amen.
Now, I want you to raise your hands.